You are about listening to a teaching titled Ministering the Word of God Effectively by Brother Gbile Akani. This teaching was given at a workshop held for pastors and ministers of God's Word. The outline used at the workshop is available on request. For further inquiries or counsel, contact Peace House Tapes, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. God bless you.
Let's go and pray now. If we don't know the nature of God's word, we do not minister it. If we don't encounter the word first in our own lives, we cannot be ministers of the word. And yet, everything God does, from creation to now, he does by his word. For men to change, for men to become different, for the church to be sanctified, is the means of the word. We are here for a workshop on God's word. I want you to pray personally. Allow me, Lord, to see your word. Allow me, Lord, to encounter your word. Grant me the privilege of encountering your word. Keep me with your word. We're going to be talking things that look technical, yet we need help. That the Holy Spirit will grant us entry into the ministry of God's word. We talk about God's word from time to time, but we need help from heaven. That word will become life each time we handle it. Don't forget the Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, handling the word of truth, dividing the word of truth faithfully and truthfully. Jesus Christ's name we pray. Our Father, we want to come before your presence. We want to believe you for now. Yes. Yes, indeed. We want to know to assist us. We know that it's your purpose to raise men. Knowing that we can look for you concerning them. And they will not mishandle your trust. So Father, we want to pray that beyond our human ability, you will help us today. Father, we ask that you will particularly grant unto us your own understanding, and that no matter how brief this meeting is, you will cause it to be eternal in impact, eternal in its effect. The Lord, out of this little meeting, there will arise that men who will handle the word of God for effectiveness, even for revival. Lord, we are trusting that all that you have shown to us, we are committed unto faithful men. The Lord, they also will find a trust in the death of their lives. Help us to others. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. There are three major parts to it. We have concluded that there's no way we can go through This is what we're going to go through. The more I'm going today. So we have decided that we'll just take a section out of it all. And we'll be dealing with this, the last section, of which we'll call take a little of section B on finding the word for ministry, and then looking at imparting the word of God. So, what I'd like to go through the general introduction so that all of you can understand where we are coming from. We're saying that God's major instrument of ministry, apart from the human vessel, which is the minister, is the word of God. There are two things. What are these two things? The minister and then the word. Okay? And everything that God has ever done anywhere, right from the beginning until this present moment that we are talking about, God does all his work by his word. In fact, the Bible said the whole world is held out by the word of his power. That is, the whole world, everything you see now, was held together by God's word. When the word of God becomes scarce in any person's life, that life is going to scatter. When the word of God becomes scarce in a family, the family cannot stay together. And when the word of God becomes scarce or sparing in a church, in a congregation, that congregation will become frivolous. They will become very light. And one of the conditions, one of the characteristics of a fluid is that it doesn't have shape of its own. It assumes the shape of a container. It does not have its own volume. It assumes the volume of the container. It means you can blow it or you can compress it at will. So when the word of God is not present sufficiently in the life of any group of persons, they become flux, superflux. They become light. They can be twisted here, twisted there. They can be, anything can happen to them. They can be blown here and there. Whenever there is a constant decay or decrease of the ministry of God's word, are you listening to me? There could be much talking of stories. There could be a lot of fanfare. There could be many more singing. Something of substantial value happens or reduces in the church. It becomes dead. And I'd like to inform you very seriously that all the churches you thought and you normally say they are orthodox and they are dead now, there's nothing that killed them apart from what? The scarcity of God's word. Nothing kills them. And I've proved it again and again. Give me a local church, no matter how dead you think it is. Permit us to consistently teach the word of God sincerely, it will change. There's nothing the structure does actually nothing. The greatest problem I find is not the name they are calling a church. It's not what people say about it. It is simply that the word of God is not taught. Let us go to the Anglican Church now. Teach the word of God regularly, every day. It will change. And there is nothing peculiar about the Pentecostal church. Withdraw the word of God from it, it becomes a group of noisemakers. There's nothing spectacular about you saying you are born again. Let us staff a group of born again Christians of the word of God for the next 1 year. They will become useless. So I see a very big danger for which God is compelling us to address, and part of it is what God is doing here tonight. That if we don't take time and return back to the integrity of God's word and place it where it belongs, all that we are talking about now will decay. There's no way to preserve the church except by a consistent exposure unto God's word in its purest form. I don't know whether you understand what I've said so far. Do you get what I'm saying? Now, let me quickly say again that there's no man who is difficult in the face of God's word. I have seen it again and again. It gives me joy. I went somewhere and I was preaching, and there was this man that everybody feared him. He was such a terrible guy. He only has a room and a parlor, and he's married with 2 children. But he smokes all kind of things. Whenever he brings his concubines, he will push his wife to stay and wait for them in the parlor and take the concubine to their bedroom and lock them. And if the wife opens her mouth and said anything, the thing he will greet her with is a slap straight on the face. So nobody, all the churches, all the elders, they have called him to advise him. And that's what we're going to be seeing. Advice is different from the word of God. Some of you are wise, but with native wisdom. You understand what I'm saying? Did you bring us home? So there's no... The advice is good, but advice is not God's word. I see some of you call people, you say, sister, you know, hey, we are all Christians. Hey, let's not be misbehaving. Yeah, I love you, and God really also loves you. It's not good to be misbehaving. Yeah, settle down. Don't you see what is happening? People are laughing at you. You should think. I beg you, think. You're wasting your time. God's word is that potent, comprehensive equipment for changing men. Hallelujah. So that man just staggered into this revival meeting with his black goggle. How he came in, nobody really knew, because he never went to church. But as we started preaching, something happened. First, he removed his goggle. Then his body started cooling down. You know? Now I've seen the word of God. It works well. It's good. May God help you to know it. Suddenly, he started crying. He came out for altar call. People thought he was joking. He broke down and started crying. He said, Papa God. Papa God. That night, when I packed all his beer, everything, brought it out and broke them. Brought out every terrible thing. He cleaned the whole house that night. The following morning, and it was one of the garage touts. He went everywhere, from his master with whom he used to circle, to all the drivers, everywhere, saying, I am born again. They asked, they said, why? How did it happen? Look, that young man is an evangelist now, preaching about in the villages. Overnight, the word of God changed him. Another guy stumbled into a meeting. It was holding a meeting in a Baptist church in Abuja some few years ago. I think his girl, I mean there's a sister whom they were serving together, who invited him. And he had been trying to woo the girl. So he decided that let him go and mark his attendance in that meeting because of the girl. So he came conspicuously late and walked in such a manner that the girl would know that he came. Of course, he was dead drunk. But he had an accident with the word of God that day. Yes, that is what happened to him. As he sat down, I was just dealing with the various kind of hearts on which the word of God could fall. And there was this roadside heart that the Holy Spirit started to analyze. By the time we finished the roadside heart and we started dealing with the stony heart, I couldn't even finish. We didn't stop. The young man started crying. In fact, it was his tears and some other people's tears that forced me to close my Bible and say, let us pray. There are times when the word of God comes, the congregation don't allow you to finish what you are saying. So they were on there. So he said he did not know why he's weeping. He said he went to church last when he was in Form 1. And he had finished his university, he was serving. And that in Form 2, that was when he started going to harlots. Can you imagine Form 2 boy? That the kind of women that he carries at the one of his mother's age. He doesn't know why such women follow him. There's nothing, there's no kind of drink he does not, he has never tasted. And when he's feeling that the life is not yet rocky, when he got to the university, he formed a club. And the first philosophy of the club is that there's no God. So that any consciousness of sin or guilt, they wipe it off. So you know what they did. But as that girl kept pestering him that he should attend that meeting, so he came. The funniest experience, that's what I'm telling you about the word. I believe in the word of God. I regard the word of God much more than human explanation. And I'm going to be praying that you will see the word of God in such a manner that when you have a privilege to minister it, you don't waste that opportunity to tell stories about yourself. I regard it as foolishness for you to come on pulpit and be gisting and be using precious time to greet human beings and make everybody to laugh off and forget the sure word. So, as that experience happened, in particular, God allowed me to particularly cancel him. Because I saw him weeping profusely. He was just weeping. So I called him. I said, young man, what is the problem? He told me the story. So he did not know. In fact, he was drunk. Normally, I used to think that when somebody is drunk, he's not conscious enough to hear the word of God. But I've since changed my mind. I find that the word of God causes drunkenness to dry up in a minute. I've seen that again. Oti adalujue, what? When the word comes. I'm talking of God's word. Praise the Lord. So I told him, I said, and then we opened another scripture. I said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are what? I asked, is he passing away? Is that the Bible? What did he say? Past. Look, brother, may God help you to touch the word. You see, that is not an advice, that all things have passed away. We are not using, it's not an advice. Sometimes when you are counseling people, you say, you know, all things have passed away, as if you are trying to encourage him. No. That is the word of God. That is the truth. That is the reality. That is what actually may ever happen. I said, so, are you getting me? That all things have passed. His name was Coyote. I said, the word Coyote has passed. I said, so you go back. As you are going back, you will meet your girlfriends. You will meet your drinking mates. Even if you go there, the coyote that used to drink has passed. That's the truth. So he went. It was like a joke. He still saw his friends yelling at him and asking, where has he gone? He said he did not know why he couldn't. He just felt that he's no more there. So when he got back to his room, his other colleagues, they said, what did that man, what did they do to you? Because, why? Before 6 p.m. we were together. And now at 9, you're a different man. That's the word. Finished. By the time the meeting was ending on a Friday, the boy has become a different. Oh no, look, the word of God works. It does work. We are praying that God will give us the word. Because I know it's very effective. It doesn't work neatly. So his girlfriend got the wind that this boy is going. So the guy came very early one day during that week. Very early. Very early. And she started crying. The guy was weeping seriously. The boy said, sorry. Why are you looking for the dead among the living? He is no more here. Guy or day that you knew is dead. You don't see that? The guy refused to move. He said, well, sorry. Your friend, the one you knew, is dead. This one you are seeing is a new creature, is a brand new person. He has never been before. That's the Bible. That's the truth. I'm telling you something. The reason why people struggle with sin 5 years after they have repented is nothing. It's because of the way they were delivered, the way they were born. What were they fed with when they were born again? Let God give you the correct word. You will see that lives can change and change neatly, correctly, permanently. That's it. And I thank God. After the girl went from about 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., the girl left. They saw you have left me. Say, who has left you? Who left you? This one you see now doesn't really know you. You've never met him. It's a brand new person. The one that you knew died. Why are you looking for the dead among the living? It's no more here. The word of God. It works. God has ordained. And do you know what the Bible says about the word of God? It says by faith. The elders believed, and we also come to know that the world we see now, was not made from things that were. But they were what? Framed. The word frame means fashioned, designed, and put together. By who? Eh? By the word. So you see, I don't just... When we are talking of God's word, it's not a means of communication. It's not somebody trying to explain something. Whenever a man is ministering the word, it's like he's pushing out an architect that jumps into people's life and begins to cut and join. So, do you follow me to that point? Praise the Lord. So one thing, one praise that I want you to keep praying about for yourself, since we cannot stay here and be talking about the nature of God's word. We cannot finish. But I sincerely know that if you don't know the nature of God's word, you can't minister it. Where you can minister at the level that you know. So, one assignment I want to give you, even while we go to what we really think we can do today, is for you to keep praying, Lord, open my eyes to see the nature of your word. Help me, Lord, to see what your word looks like, so that I will not mishandle it. Praise the Lord. I'll show you something briefly, but let me finish the introduction I'm reading. Say, God's major instrument of ministry, apart from the human vessel, the minister, is the word of God. God's word is his weapon of changing men. I want you to believe it. I want you to say amen. Say amen and swallow it. Yes. That God's word is his weapon of changing men. Nothing else. You may do everything for men. You may pamper them, you may visit them, you may show them love, you may whatever. There is nothing in all those things. The best they can do is to make the condition favorable. But when the word has not come, they are not changed. At best, their faith will depend in men. There are some people that if the pastor or if a particular brother backslides, they must backslide with him. Their life is bound up in a man. It's because of the way they were born. What changes men if you want your work centers or your house gathering fellowship or anything, you want it to change? Nothing. The word of God. I lived in a duplex some years ago. And my old flat is this. Then my colleague was living the other side. I thought he was married, because since I got to that yard, I always met him with this particular lady. So I regarded them as husband and wife. So I didn't worry myself. We greet, we talk. Sometimes we'll preach to them. They will argue. They say, oh, this. Okay. So one day like this, there was a quarrel. They were fighting seriously. In fact, they tore themselves naked. Abba, I came out because there was a prayer meeting in my house, and they are also doing their own. So it was serious. So I came out and I met them at the corridor. The man was just in his underwear. No sickness, nothing. The wife was still who came and said, I will disgrace you today. What do you think you are? I will disgrace you. I begged and said, madam, please now. Please. Don't disgrace yourselves. And you are big people. Your students, your lecturer students are coming here. How will you want to go to lectures tomorrow? Please now. I said, no, I'm going to disgrace him. Cannot change me. I say, hey, hold me. How can I speak to you? And you will not even look at me. He said, sorry, sir. He said, for this time, no, I must deal with this case. So I managed to push them inside their house again and beg them and close the door. So I continued. Later, what happened was terrible. It's not good that is happening next door, and I will claim not to know. So I went again. Oh God. I was caught. I was injured. I was trying to separate them. So when I finished separating them, the Lord asked me, is that your ministry? Sent you to be doing. Is that what I gave you to do? He said, he has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. What brings reconciliation is what? The word. So when they cooled down a bit, and I went, no more begging now. And I said, do you really want this problem to be solved? The woman said, yes. The man said, if you know how to solve it. I said, okay, I know how to solve it. Do you want this thing to be solved? He said, yes. I said, okay. Excuse me, Mr. I called him by his name. I said, so you will allow me to do what I know how to do. In the next few moments. So I said, by early morning tomorrow, we will meet. I was not going to talk about what caused the quarrel. Why are you fighting? And all that. I just went in there with the scriptures. And I started. I was believing that the word of God will do what I know him to do. You know doctors. Don't you know doctors? When you say you have stomach ache and they decide that you are going to take injection, do you know that they believe that when they give you injection, the injection will do what? It will quickly go into your veins. It will go and trap that problem and finish it. Is that not it? Is that not also what you believe? So I know that the word of God is like a drug. Administer the drug continuously. Finish. You want men to be sanctified. It's not by telling them that they need to be holy. Administer the word that makes men holy. Finish. Unconsciously, they will start being holy. Are you understanding what I'm saying now? That's why if we want to build for God, we must accord the word of God the rightful place. I was asked to come and preach in a church. I did not know that I was going to run into trouble. They were so buoyant. Oh my God. I've never seen a wonderful place of worship like that. Everybody just comes in and they say, "Oh Jesus." Everybody. Anybody can do anything, but it was wonderful. As long as you don't really touch the inner thing. I don't know. Decide you come and preach on Maranatha. That he is coming, the coming of Christ. You know, they were expecting me to start dealing with the eschatologies, the number of stars in heaven, the angels, and the arrangement of the trumpeters of the second coming and all that. The Holy Spirit said, "No, that's not the word. That's not the word for them, no." So we just said to them quietly, and the word was coming the first day. Everybody sat. The noise stopped. People's eyes were red with tears. All the things they put, you know, oh, women put all kind of things, you know, everything. Tears, that's what they did. Handkerchiefs were going around. The following day, the first day, hardly did you see anybody who covered her hair. I didn't preach about covering your hair. But the following day, more than 3/4, everybody came. So people really know how to dress. Look, let me tell you, it's not, people know what to do. They know. When they really want to be with God, they know. He said, "Let's make things serious. We have to be serious with God." Things were changing. After 4 days, there is a marked difference. People that were married wrongly, they were coming to raise the questions. Say, "I have the second wife here." And they are very great people in the church. The woman said, "You know that your first wife is still at home. And each time we are coming for fellowship, she will just say, 'I can't say it.' Hypocrites. I have heard the word of God. I would like to pack up." I said, "God." The resident pastor said, "Oh, the word that will have my wife." It's the word of God. Don't go about chasing shadows. Don't go about attacking sisters. Don't go about making rules and regulations. In this church, we don't do this. No. That's not what Jesus taught you to do. Did he ask you to be explaining rules and regulations? What did he say you should do? Preach the word. consistently preach the word, you will see life changed. No rules, no regulations. The word knows how to take care of it. I believe in the word of God. I believe in its ability. I believe the word of God. I believe it. If I want something to change in your life now, I will not be struggling with you. What for? When I'm struggling with you, you will say, this man, he's always warning people. No. What will I do? Preach the word. I can afford to preach the word and you will not even see me. Then the word of God will start dealing with you very well. Then that's all. May God help us in Jesus' name. Yes. It is his comprehensive equipment for preparing, furnishing, and sanctifying men until they are fit for his use. That's the word of God. God's comprehensive. When we say something is comprehensive, what does that mean? All-rounded. It's all-rounded. There's nothing you are looking for that you don't get. Comprehensive. You don't go and borrow something from outside the word of God to go and supplement it. It doesn't need any supplementary help. The word of God is complete, comprehensive, total, sufficient for every need in the church. Everything. And I pray that these churches that God is raising amidst us here, you will be church based, built, fashioned by God's word. If we give attention to the word of God in its purest form, that's all. That's all. When the word of God begins to produce the result, our growth will be so tremendous. People will be wondering, what did you people do? And yet you don't spend so much, you don't pay so much, you don't cajole people and they're still coming. How? The word of God. Those of you that believe in methods of cajole, I beg you. Well, if it is working for you, I don't know how lasting the result will be. I'm not too sure. But people that have encountered the word of God, and that's the joy I have had over some years. Do you know my joy? I found that men that are truly born by the working of the Holy Spirit and the word of God, they don't go back. They don't. Children that we preach to the word of God, they are still standing. The other day, I was in Lagos and one friend just took me to go and know his house. I did not know that there are some brethren somewhere around there. So when I just entered, he said, oh, here's Brother Billy, and I don't know them. Do you know what happened? The wife just jumped up and started singing one song that they were taught in 1984, where we gave some expositions on the book of Ephesians. And in 5 minutes, she has recanted the message. 10 years. They said, look, we have never been the same again since 10 years. The word of God. If you tell men stories, you will tell it again and again and again and again. It doesn't change. It doesn't go penetrate. Human story, going shaking you, it can't penetrate. It doesn't go anywhere. It's like scratching something on the surface. How can you change a man like that? You are blowing him and rubbing him small, 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 and as you rub it, and that's it. Sorry. It doesn't work. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. It's God's method. My prayer is that you will not miss it. You see, this necessary general introduction is for you to know why we are going into the kind of study we want to do. It's because if we are looking for revival, there are only two ingredients that bring revival. What are those two things? Prayer, the ministry of prayer, and the ministry of the word. We will pray, we will preach. We will pray, we will preach. Finish. And if the church, if your church is fashioned along two lines, I congratulate you. If you can resolve all your program, make it only two. Two programs only. What are they? Prayer, preaching. Prayer, preaching. Finish. Leave all the fanfares. Leave every other thing. Preach the word, the pure word of God. Pray. Finish. We will see revival. But you see, quietly, some of us, we don't believe in the power of God's word. We think that the word of God is not enough to sustain people. I have not seen it that way. I have proved that the word of God is the greatest attraction that you can possess. Amen. Amen. I went to a country, Burkina Faso, and I saw something. And my heart jumped. I said, Lord, the meeting was not announced. It wasn't announced. A 3 days notice, a meeting is coming. And by the time I arrived, I found people ready. So when we preached the first night, by the second day, the number in the meeting was over 2,000. They just went around. You see? If you tell them to arrive at 5, by 4:30, they're there. When revival comes, the greatest attraction will be the word. It's nothing, it's not singing, it's not the choir. It is when Baba has gone away, and the choir man become prominent. Praise the Lord. They are never necessary, actually. No. I'm sorry. But you see, that is it. The greatest attraction ever has always been God's word. When the word is coming, and when you have your power, people can stay there for hours listening and hearing and drinking and eating God's word. One of the days, something happened. It rained very early in the morning, and we wanted the meeting to start at 8. I was telling the leader that, will people be there? He said, as early as 7, rain, no, they don't have problem with rain. Let it rain anything, cat and dog, they are there. By the time I was arriving, the hall was filled. I said, this is revival. The word of God, nothing. Nothing. It's when you lose this that you need to wear a big agbada to be attracting people. John the Baptist didn't need it. You need it. So one weapon you must pray to possess if you want to be a minister is this weapon. You must have the word. And you know that Jeremiah says, he who has my word. Let someone read it for me. Jeremiah, please, are you with us? Chapter 23. Jeremiah 23. Why should you help us read verse 21 and verse 22? Then someone should help us read verse 28. 29 and 30. That's the prayer I want you to pray. We're paraphrasing this so we can go on now. Yes, sister? I thought you stood up to read. Yes. Yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. Yes. Okay. What will have turned people? What? It's not all these things. Look, if I want this man now to change, what do I do to him? They preach the word. I don't need to be saying, brother, you be reasonable. You are a leader in this church. That will not do anything. Let them hear the word. Let them hear the word. So he said, this prophet, if they have stayed, they will have allowed my people to hear the word. They will have turned them. The only way of bringing the new conversion is the word. That's why I'm afraid. No matter the manifestation of the power gates, it can only be a bait. Are you understanding that now? It can only be, what do we call bait in Yoruba? Ije, lori iwo. But what actually catches fish is the iwo. Don't ever overemphasize ije. The thing that will hook men and keep them as disciples is what? Iwoyeni, the word of God. Any group, any ministry where the emphasis shifts from the hook to Ije, to the bait, of course you will see plenty fish there, but they are uncaught. What would they do? Why don't shift? Is the hook. That's what changes men. The word of God. If you are praying to be an evangelist, please pray to possess the hook. Don't think that evangelists, or they just, nothing. It doesn't do anything. Does it? When God gives you the word and you declare it faithfully, those that are hooked, they are hooked already. But I want to watch the lesson. You hook. What happens to them? Borrow. Pray for me, Christians. That's it. Pray for me. Lay hands on me. When there's a little problem, they besiege your house. You can't rest. You cannot do anything because they are not hooked. Thank God for Jesus. Hey! You know, go. Oh, no, no. He said, will you also go? Ah! Anybody landlord? Awati. And we are hooked. They said, we are hooked already. We know and we are sure you are the only one that has what? The words of eternal life. We are not going. Bokoro Jubailo Aloma. Not going anywhere again. May God raise such disciples. You are sure of them anywhere. They are there. Because they didn't come for Ije. They were hooked by God's word. And they are kept by the same word of God. like Jesus is keeping the whole world by the word of his power, they are also kept by that word. Yes, brother, you've not finished. No, you jumped something. 28. If you have a dream, you will lay a lala. If all you have is a dream, do what? Tell your dream. Explain your dream. There's a difference between dream and the word of God. There are too many things going on the pulpit. But because the children of God, they are sheep. Sheep. Go. They just follow anybody who cares to say he knows somewhere. So people can stand up, they have said nothing from the word of God. They are just telling their dreams, their own desires. And at the end of all that, they say in Jesus' name. Is everybody should say amen to that 10 times. That cannot do anything. He can't stand those people in the days of trial. He can't keep them. So if those prophets that have dreams, let them tell their dreams. Yes, brother? Are you seeing that now? So what does that show you? It is possible for someone to do what? To have the word. That's where we are praying. That God must bring us. That you will be a man that does what? Has the word. That he has God's word. Yes? What is the chaff? Chaff. And wheat, how do they go together? They're different. When God's word is there, it's different from human dreams. It's different from gisting. Different from all those things. Yes? Yes? Yes. Therefore, oh, may God deliver you. Amen. That's all. There are prophets. They don't have God's word. But what do? They steal it without acknowledgement. Maraluba. And see something that has not passed through their life. It has not passed through their spirit. They jump up. They have stolen it. It doesn't work. So also, whatever level at which you are going to be involved in ministering the word, either at the word center level, either at the house fellowship level, either at care and share fellowship, or Sunday school, or Bible study, or foundation class, or follow up, or anything. You must seek to do what? To have, to possess, to purchase God's word. Make it your duty. It's the only weapon. Eh? Have you ever seen a farmer going to farm and you be to a bilirikwe or call reda? Only a bit there, local. Laman for Koshi. Is it correct for a farmer not to have the basic implement of farming? The hoe and the cutlass. Is it correct? The basic implement for ministry is the word of God, nothing else. I don't see you running and say, I want to be a minister. I want to. Show me what you have. Where are your implements?
Some people just think that being a ministry is just to have microphone and be yelling and be doing like this. No. Where are your implements? Where is the instrument of ministry in your hand? Is the word. When you don't yet have it, go and sit down. Stop boasting around. You are not a minister. Because you don't have the basic implement. It's God's word. So if any man is aspiring to serve God and to minister in our age, the first thing you must bend down to purchase is what? God's word. When the Lord Jesus Christ was going, he told his disciples something. He said, when I sent you out without boss, without script, without this, without that, lack you anything, what did they say? They said nothing. He said, but now, he that has a bag, let him carry it. And if there be any of you that does not have a sword, let him do what? Sell his garment to do what? To purchase one, to buy one. Mr. Peter brought two physical swords. He said, Lord, look at sword. Jesus said, what do you mean? What do you mean? You missed it. The sword of a spiritual fighter is what? Is the word. And Jesus said, if you don't have it, sell your garment. And do what? Go and buy one. I don't know what you are doing. Don't know. You want to be a preacher and you are buying many clothes. You don't have instrument. Nothing. This is not the thing that makes ministry. It is not band set. It is not all this. Nothing. These things can only come. Now, look at me. You have set all these things before us. Thank God. What does it mean? If we don't have anything to say. So I will stand here and say, you see, what is that? They say that's anointing. When did the anointing become the breath of your nose? No. What you need to buy, sell your garment, sell all the things you have until you can get it. Spend time to pray, seek the face of God. Some of you are wondering, in your own house gathering fellowship, people are not, they don't come. Is anybody who is experiencing that? Let me see your hand. Okay. Go and bend down and get the word. When God begins to give you clear utterance and people's lives are changed, if two people came and they were blessed last week, those two will never, they are hooked, they will come. Are you understanding? Then they will tell others, God has started helping that our brother. When he began to speak the other week, my heart was just burning. In fact, I don't want to miss it. They will run there. They will run there. Stop saying, brethren, why are you claiming to be too busy? Let me tell you, people are never too busy. When the word is coming, they are not busy. They will make time to be there. Make time to be there. Please, go on with all your organizational strategies. But above all you're getting, do what? Get the word. Get the hook. Get the hook. May God help us in Jesus' name. Every man God has called for a service has the divine command to preach the word. Go ye and preach the gospel. Those are the instructions. Rightly dividing the word of truth. So for us to fulfill our calling in God's vineyard, our relationship with the Word of God our attitude to the word of God, our competence in holding fast and holding forth the word of truth must be correct. Every one of us must seek divine unction and heavenly utterance under the anointing in order to affect our hearers and get them on their knees before God. Every revival has always been brought about by the ministry of prayer and of the word of God. The manifestation of God's power has to be backed up by the true knowledge of the word for it to last and not dissipate as mere magic. Do you understand what I've said? If God were beginning to grant you good breakthrough that as you open your mouth, the blind see. No, how glorious it is. Ministry cannot be based on it. Church can never be built around a miracle. Go and see churches that are built around that thing. There's nothing there. Because it's an endless problem. No man ever rises and is free. He has to keep coming. You either be praying for them on their cloth or handkerchief or praying into water bottles or whatever, because the attention has shifted. But you know, he said, how did the Bible put it? He said, the church of God, which is the ground and the pillar of truth. The foundations of the apostles is the word. We must build on it. Men must be roasted in the furnace of God's word for them to last in the church and be productive. Any move not rooted in the principle of God's word will soon disappear like a mist. A genuine test of a true revival is that the converts continued in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayer. I want you to check the order in which the Bible reported the growth of the church. That they were steadfast in the breaking of bread. Is that what the Bible said? Please check it. All of you, please. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Who is the sister who is reading now? Acts 2:42. Yes? Did you see that now? How did it start? Apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, then in prayer. The reason why your prayer meeting is dying is because there's a decrease in the quantity of God's word. The only way to furnish the prayer meeting is what? The word. If it is not a prayer meeting of noise, if it is not that, if it is a renewed communication with God, it has to be initiated by what? The word of God. Permit me, I hope I'm not overemphasizing the need for God's word. That's what I see in the Bible. They stood steadfastly and they continued how? In the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. And in breaking of bread and in prayers. That's how it should be. The basis of a genuine fellowship is the word of God. For there to be real fellowship, look, don't stop building on the roof. Do you understand what I'm saying? So say we want everybody to be fellowshipping, there's no fellowship between light and darkness. What really brings a real deep communion is when we believe the same thing. Just imagine those of you that have become friends. You find that if the same thing that is going on in your heart as you study the word of God is the same thing that is happening to the other brother, how do you feel? Automatic. In fact, you will begin to pray without planning it. The reason is because the same thing has happened to you. You have the same prayer request. The word is directing you to go to the same place, so automatically you have the same fellowship. There's no other way to really bring the new fellowship except by the exposure, consistent exposure to God's word, so that when the word of God thoroughly furnishes men, they can think alike, they can behave alike, they can believe alike, they can approve the same thing. May God help us in Jesus' name. Where men cannot endure sound doctrine, their fellowship is vague and shallow. Prayers are not effectual. Most of such converts remain babes, and they remain pray for me Christians. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great number of the priests were obedient to the faith. What was the result? When the word of God increased, what does that mean? The result is that number of disciples do what? Multiply. You see, I'm happy with the Bible. I'm happy. There are some of you that kept wondering. When we talking, sometime when we come to giving altar calls, we're going to raise issues. You can ask your questions. Jesus didn't ask us to go and make converts. What did he say we should do? Go into all the world and do what? Make disciples. Disciples. And who is a disciple? Look at the Bible. It said, if any man wishes to be my disciple, let him do what? Deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. And I found that the same condition that Jesus gives for discipleship is the same condition he gave to the man who said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? So there are times that it bothers me that you say some people are Christians and they are not disciples. I'm afraid. There are times that, you know, when we look into the word of God and you want to give an altar call, you are afraid because everybody wants to now make it right with God. Some say, you should have said those people that have not known Jesus. How will you know Jesus and you are still living in sin? You are deceiving yourself. The Bible says, if any man say he is in Christ and he is committing sin, is what? He's a liar. What kind of Bible are you really preaching to people? That they are living in sin and you say they are born again. You are deceiving them. Because when the reality will be declared, they will be surprised. Say, whosoever is committing sin is of the devil. Do you understand what I'm talking about now? So, the word of God has to be thoroughly taught so that disciples can multiply. As far as Jesus is concerned, he is looking for disciples, not for church members. And if in your church you decide that we are looking for disciples, praise the Lord for you. Because if there are 20, you know that they will follow you to heaven. And they have ability to reproduce themselves. And when God begins to use them, they shake the whole world. Praise the Lord. Even priests, they became obedient. to what? The faith. No longer did they argue with the truth using their theological experiences. But note again, the word of God increased. What could that mean? Does it mean that more Bibles were brought? Eh? Certainly not. Apostles devoted themselves to the ministry of prayer and the ministry of God's word. Finish. So the word of God can actually grow and increase in a community depending on the devotion and effectiveness of the ministers of the word. But the word of God grew and multiplied. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. We all have the charge to preach the word. Hold for the word of life. If our world must change, if our congregation must be sanctified, if many of our communities and our communities become obedient to the faith, what is it? The word of God must be preached how? Faithfully. Yes, faithfully. And effectively. So, we are seeking God's wisdom and mercy to show us how to handle God's word for maximum results. As we prayerfully consider a few things concerning ministering God's word, may the Holy Spirit Himself help us and make us flames of fire in Jesus' name. Now, so do you get the preamble to the study now? Eh? I give you a personal assignment to go and find out what is the nature of God's word. You can take time, you can pray about it, you can read. We could have settled here to be looking at what is the nature of God's word, but we don't have time. And if we settle there, we won't reach where we really want to go. So, believing that God will lend you His word as you continue to go to Him, we now want to go ahead and look at how to minister the word effectively. Two things that I just rush over quickly. The receiving of the word of God for ministry. You have the Lord. Now, they have helped us to praise the Lord. So please, go ahead, peruse through section B very quickly. In fact, where we are going is section C. Please. As ministers of God's word, we have the need of receiving divine oracles each time we stand on the pulpit to confront men. Do you agree with that? Eh? Each time you want to go and meet people as a minister, you know the first problem, the first need is, what will I say? Is that not so? What will I say? How will I say it? So we found that it's a need to receive divine oracles each time we stand on the pulpit to confront men. This need leads many onto much study, rigorous researches. Many of us maintain fat libraries of books, and great sermons of great preachers are foregone. Some cram messages of other men and they just deliver it as a person. But definitely it was the need. Are you understanding? It was the need of what to put across to men that lead to such experiences. It is not wrong. The way we are putting it here is not as if we are saying this is the wrong thing. It isn't. Saturday nights and early Sunday mornings are usually tedious for several pastors and teachers as they approach the D-Day and the tea time of sermon delivery. Is it true? Eh? The last time they ask you to preach on Sunday, what happened on Saturday night? Eh? It was all night. Ministering the word is a serious, is a grave job. Carrying God's word to go and deliver to men. As far as I'm concerned, it's like you gave egg, raw egg, to someone to help you transport from Abeokuta. Ibadan. crate of raw egg. How does he do it? You have to carry it gently. If the car is shaking too much, you say, no, I'm carrying egg. I'm carrying egg. And you know the problem. If it crack, you cannot gather it. It's a serious responsibility to be a minister of God's word. It's like bearing an explosive weapon that God uses to change men. How to carry it properly and deliver it intact. They are the issues that we are praying God to help us to deal with. But like I said, we won't be able to go into the details, so I will just be reading. Many of us, we have several experiences in this. Homiletics and making of a sermon are inevitable courses in theological institutions. Homiletics means sermon making, how to make sermon and how to preach. The appearance, if you have ever been to theological school, they are taught the first word. So if you have met a theologically trained pastor, when he comes out, he's either trained to say, "Good morning, everybody." "How are you today? I'm happy to bring you the word from above." Yes, it's a special training. They are trained on the way to speak, the way to appear, even where to look, so that as you are looking, it will look as if you are looking at people, but you are looking somewhere. All this, they are all trained because it's a need. We have realized that it's a need. So there's no theological institution you go that there's no course on homiletics, except if you are not being trained to preach. We need to bow before the Lord again at this moment, to the great teacher of all time, the great pastor and bishop of our souls, who taught men continuously without break for 3 days as one having authority and not as the scribes, even Jesus Christ, the pattern servant and minister, to show us what we need to do to touch and receive the divine bread from the table of presence, to break before the hungry multitude sitting eagerly on bare grass. The implication of our ministry is that these men that we are facing, most of them are sitting on bare grass, and they need to be transferred from grass to grace. They are all eager. They are all looking left and right. That's why they receive anything. That's why anybody that makes an announcement, they are going to receive it. Whatever you tell them, they will do it, because they are very hungry. They don't know. They have never seen God. And they have run helter skelter, and they know that there's no other way apart from God. So anybody that claims to know where God is, they follow him. Look at that place now. Did you see that man? Eh? Did you see big people going there? He compels them to remove part of their head. Eh? So that they can see whatever they were looking for. People are there because he claims to be something from God. So all we are saying is that there's a need. And I don't know where we can learn homiletics except from the hand of Jesus. And what we are even doing tonight is not supposed to become theoretical. It's supposed to spur you to prayer, help you to go back to God and say, "Now, Lord Jesus, what do I do? How do I minister effectively? How do I handle the word of life? Showing it forth and breaking it forth in the midst of men. Looking for these grasses to turn to grace, and their wobbling knees strengthened to run the heavenly race. They come eagerly to hear the word of the Lord, and the word from the Lord each time. May we not just turn them away to go fend for themselves, in the towns and cities of worldliness, because we ourselves are here in a desert place, destitute of fresh, divine, potent and fiery unction from above. As we consider a few things here, I implore you to pray and look up unto God for an impartation of divine wisdom on your life in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. That is the basic thing we are praying for God to help us do. So, the first thing we want to deal with is revelation knowledge. We're just rushing through it. What is revelation knowledge? Revelation knowledge is a breaking forth. It's like, have you ever seen how the sun comes out early in the morning? Or when the moon is about to come? Have you ever noticed that before? It's breaking forth. It's hidden. Ordinarily, you can be moving up and you can even be stepping on it. But you will not know that anything is there. So when a break forth of God's divine truth embedded in the scriptures begins to come out onto your heart, that illuminates your spiritual understanding, that's what we call a revelation knowledge. It is a seeing into what otherwise commonly is hidden from the eyes of the natural man. Praise the Lord. And we said it is different from native knowledge. Native knowledge is what you read from history books, what you used to know, and all that. It is not also the same as the cumulative, what had been put all along over the time. But this comes fresh. It comes as if God said, come and see something. Let me show you something. That's what we call revelation knowledge. We said, okay, describe briefly in what various forms you have encountered the revelation of God's word before. Just one, two people who have encountered God's word as a revelation. Tell us briefly how you have encountered it. Someone who has never spoken, so that we can spread. Yes. Praise the Lord. So, you didn't just hear it. You didn't hear it. Hello. Okay. Okay. Yes, thank you. Any other? Maybe a sister this time around. Yes, sister. Ghost, how are you standing here? You are falling like that. I'm happy with you. Yes. When an ordinary word suddenly break. Have you seen masquerade before? Eh? You have seen masquerade before. So when suddenly the masquerade Okanja de day, she what and you let one be. That's revelation knowledge. When the cover suddenly is removed. So, one thing we want you to know about the Word of God is this. The Word of God is never capsuled naked. Eh? The reason why God does it is because He cannot cast a spear the first one. There's no word of God you can meet naked. Every word of God had been capsuled in a container, in a cover, so that only those who are looking for the word will touch it after a diligent knocking. You see, God is not afraid. So, You can carry the Bible now into theological school. Be analyzing it. God knows that you cannot disfigure His word. Are you understanding that now? You can go to the university, the Department of Religious Studies. You will see them piercing the Bible. You'll just be saying, in fact, Ezekiel made a mistake when he wrote in chapter 12. And according to Acts chapter 15, it was a contradiction. God never forgets. Now you will say, why are you treating the Bible like that? No, no. God knows that they never can touch His word. He be told you have a mercy. And we'll let it be. Careless men can do it. He's kept waiting for a correct heart where he can be deposited. So each time you are approaching the Word of God, the Bible, please recognize that there is a share. It's deliberately put there by God. Any day, there's a share. And it's because as soon as man became carnal, as soon as man fell into sin, with the knowledge of good and evil, God decided to fold His own word and keep it. Because spiritual things can only be spiritually discerned.
Please go over to tape 2 for a continuation of this teaching.